Welcome to Advent, everybody. I am in Iowa about to do a reboot event, and I want to introduce you to the most important word you never heard of, kerygma. Kerygma is a word that was taken up from the Hellenized world, the Greek world, the Greekified world, so to speak. This is the world that Alexander the Great united in Greek culture and language. And you know, quick tangent, Alexander the Great thought he was serving himself, but here's the beautiful thing about human history and about every struggle and trial, or even dictators. Everything literally serves God. See, what he was actually doing was paving the way for a united world so the gospel could spread. It's one of the biggest reasons the gospel spread is because he united language and roads and systems that drew everyone together. But in this world, the way you would get news spread around is through a carex, a herald, bringing a kerygma, an announcement. I think of the guy who would maybe show up in a town and unroll a scroll and say, "Hear ye, hear ye." All right, there's a carex bringing a kerygma. And if you attacked the messenger, you could be waging war on the head of a city-state or the king who sent the message. And something to note, I mean, this is the kind of power that a kerygma had, that a carex had. And something to note about a kerygma, about one of these announcements in the ancient world, this was not just a headline that was going to fit into your day. Look, if a king sent a message, a hear ye moment, and stood up in the midst of a town, everybody gathered around, your day, and maybe your entire life, was going to restructure itself underneath that headline. The headline wasn't going to fit into your life. It'd be something like this: "We have a new king," or "We're at war." Boom, like everything just changed. Or maybe fast forward to your life today. Here's an example of a headline that could rewrite your life. "We're pregnant." That doesn't just fit in your day. Look, your whole life is now restructured and somehow magically fits under that headline. In fact, your whole identity changes. Like, dude, you're a dad now, right? Everything's different because of that headline. Or maybe here's another example. Think of something more dramatic. Well, maybe not more dramatic than "we're pregnant," but think of a guy in the trench warfare in World War I, and he's about to go over into no man's land and probably die, and he's writing a letter to his beloved to say goodbye, and someone comes with news. The war's over. There's a herald with a message that just changed that guy's entire life, just changed totally, absolutely everything. That kerygma, boom, everything's totally different now, right? Guys, that word, why am I going off on this lesson about carex, kerygma, this Greek word, what's the relevance? That word was taken up by the early church, used in the New Testament to describe the announcing of the gospel. The gospel was called the kerygma, and those who brought it were called carexes. How does that apply? How does that fit? What's that imply? It implies that the good news of the gospel, this is so beautiful, man. This is not one little piece of news that's given to you to consider, no, or to debate with, no, or to dialogue around, no. This is an announcement of something that is happening that does not fit into your life. Your life, everything about your life, everything about you, who you are, your very identity, is all restructured now as bullet points under that headline from heaven. And what is the kerygma for Christians? The heart and soul of the gospel, that all that is Christianity explodes from. Kind of like the universe was a singularity. It was all in one point, astrophysicists say, and it was all there magically and exploded into all that we have now. So it is with Christian faith and Christian life and philosophy and the moral life and the liturgy. All of it was already present in this singularity. It's the one simple message that, like a headline, like a guy bringing an announcement, it would fit neatly that there's a God, that his name is love, that he loves you, that he calls you to himself. I'm going to knock and try to get in this church since I'm speaking here. It might be nice to get in. That he created you for an eternal purpose that's good, that when you wandered from his plan, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, guys.
Can't lock you
up. I know, man. How's it going? How's it going? High five. Yeah. Great. Guys, that good news of the gospel is not part of your life. What's up, guys? Hey. High five. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. High five. Yeah.
Hello.
High five. That good news, that God loved you, that is not one headline in your day. That's not one part of your life. Your whole life, your world, your everything, your identity is now restructured under that headline. And that, high five, welcome to Reboot. That, That good news, guys, is the coming of that good news. That's what we prepare for. That's what we celebrate in Advent leading up to Christmas. It's a time to refocus on the basics and the good news of the gospel. High five. Welcome to Reboot.
I love
real men. These are real men at Reboot right here. We can make a calendar called the Real Men of Reboot. Amen. What's your name, dude?
Joe,
I'm not messing with you.
No,
what's your
Dennis.
Dennis, good to meet you, man.
Josh.
Thanks for coming, dude. Thank you. How's it going, guys?
Hey.
I know these people.
Hi.
My Polish friend.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Good to see
Praise
you.
Praise God.
Yes.
So how do you prepare yourself for that good news? Because he comes to us at Christmas, but this is also preparation for how he comes to us. The good news that we don't just consider as part of our day that breaks upon our life and restructures everything. He comes to us at our death too. And the gospel of the first Sunday of Advent this year points to that reality. But he also comes to us in our everyday life. And so the big message and the biggest way to respond to a charis spring, a kerygma, is to, as they say in the Byzantine liturgy before they read the gospel, wisdom, be attentive. So be attentive. They offered me a private chapel before the reboot so I could pray and reflect. And how do we get our hearts attentive? Spend extra time in prayer. I love you guys. Pray for me. I am praying for you. Hey guys, just getting back to the hotel after an amazing reboot, the last reboot of 2025. And I'm sorry, I know it sounded like I landed the plane in the video. There's just two other things I had to share. Number one, dude, what an incredible year. Like, all the stuff you see in the news about everyone leaving the faith and the world going up in flames, everywhere I go, everywhere, it's like it's full churches of people who are just filled with joy and hungry for Jesus. And that's what I saw tonight in Iowa, and it blew my mind, and I'm just so grateful for that experience. But anyway, to the reflection. This is something I forgot, I left out, and it's just too important to leave it out. And I had to share it with you before I go to bed. Guys, the fact that the new headline for your life is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means that your life is not a story written by that divorce. That's not your life story. It's not a story written by cancer. It's not a story written by an abuse that you lived through. All those things, because of what Jesus did, are reduced to pages in a bigger story. It's a story of God's eternal love for you and your eternal victory in Him, with Him, through Him, because of Him. So don't ever look at your life story and think, well, my story, if there was a cover, you know, of the book and a title, it would be that thing that ruined me or hurt me. No. Jesus writes your story. And he rewrote it on the cross, and he rewrote it by rising from the dead. And you need to do the mental work to get in agreement with God and make sure you see your life through that lens. And that is one of the big reasons it's so dang important to spend lots of time in prayer. So I just had to add that because I love you and I want to encourage you. And again, happy Advent.